And now we take you to the north of the border, to Orkney, where Maureen Marr discovered the story behind a chapel that was built by Italian prisoners of war. In the course of her story, we also discover how Maureen's husband was partly responsible for finding the artist who painted the chapel many years after he had returned to Italy.
Hello, I'm Maureen Marr. You usually hear me reading the news, but I'm recording this at the Italian chapel in Orkney. There's a gale blowing and waves are breaking over the nearby causeway that separates the sea from Scarpa Flow. This is 120 square miles of water, almost enclosed by the southern Isles of Orkney. It provides a vast natural harbour between the long grey surges of the Atlantic and the inhospitable waters of the North Sea. In both the First and Second World Wars, it was an important base for the British fleet. At the end of the First World War, in November 1918, the defeated German High Seas Fleet surrendered off the Firth of Forth to Admiral Sir David Beatty, Commander-in-Chief of the British Grand Fleet. The German fleet, with reduced crews and no ammunition, was then escorted north to be interned in Scarpa Flow, where it was held for the next 7 months. Then, on the longest day in June 1919, the German crews deliberately scuttled the 74 ships rather than surrendering them. Most of the fleet sank, and although during the 1920s and 30s many were salvaged, three battleships and four cruisers still remain under the waters. In October 1939, at the beginning of the Second World War, a German submarine managed to penetrate the partially blocked eastern channels of Scarpa Flow and hit HMS Royal Oak, which sank within 15 minutes with a loss of 833 lives. This disaster persuaded Winston Churchill, then First Lord of the Admiralty, that the eastern entrance to Scarpa Flow must be permanently blocked. The method chosen was to lay massive blocks of stone and concrete on the seabed, producing a series of causeways which then link the four islands of Lambholm, Glimpsholm, Murray and South Ronaldsay. The labour problem of constructing 66,000 huge blocks of concrete was solved by using 1,000 Italian prisoners of war, captured during the North Africa campaign. When they first arrived, they were none too pleased with the climate, and I can sympathise. I'm here in May, but we've had torrential rain, gales, and ferries cancelled. Oh, and volcanic ash. The prisoners' camp consisted of 13 cheerless huts. But the Italians made paths, planted flowers, and one prisoner, Domenico Ciocchetti, an artist and sculptor, made from barbed wire and concrete a statue of St. George slaying the dragon, symbolising their triumph over defeat and loneliness. Gradually, amenities, including a theatre and a recreation hut, were added, but they lacked a chapel. Then, in 1943, two Nissen huts were made available to the prisoners. These were placed end to end and joined together, and Ciocchetti and a small number of other prisoners of war set to work. One end of the corrugated iron hut was lined with plasterboard, and an altar and altar rail were cast in concrete. There was plenty of this, as the blocks for the barriers were made in concrete. Ciocchetti painted the Madonna and Child behind the altar. He based this on a holy picture on a postcard that had been given to him by his mother, and that he carried throughout the war. He frescoed a white dove on the ceiling, and symbols of the four evangelists on the chancel walls. Another prisoner, Palumbo, a metal worker, made a candelabra, a rood screen, and gates out of scrap metal. Sardine tins became candle holders. All of this was so successful that more plasterboard and help was procured, and the whole inside of the hut was painted to look like brickwork with vaulting and carved marble. The effect is unbelievably stunning. Then, on the outside, to hide the ugliness of the huts, a concrete facade was erected with an archway, pillars, and a moulded head of Christ. When the prisoners left the island on the 9th of September 1944, they were given a promise that the Orcadians would cherish their chapel. After the war, the whole camp, apart from the chapel and St. George and the Dragon, disappeared. But Orcadians and visitors to the island began to visit the chapel. But the question of its preservation was a problem. Now my husband, the artist Leslie Marr, takes up the story. Leslie, you came to Orkney a number of times in the 1950s.
Yes, I did. I came first in 1952, and I was so intrigued with the place that I then came up every year after that. And I used to take photographs of very interesting and unusual things and hoped to sell them to magazines. And I had the idea that if I came with somebody who was a writer, that between us we could do something much better. We could produce what we call photojournalism. So I had this friend called Harold Lowenstein, who was a freelance writer, and the idea was that he would write articles about things which we found, which we thought were interesting, and I would take the photographs so that we could offer something much better to a magazine.
And what year did you come with him?
I think it was 1957. Yes, it must have been. And one of the first things we did was this amazing Italian chapel, which we had already seen. And we looked at it carefully, and we found scratched into the cement a number. And Harold picked this up, really, as the sort of focal point of his writing. He started off his article by saying, was this number a number of one of the Italian prisoners who worked here? And where might he be now?
And what happened after that? The article was published?
The article was published in Country Life, and it was apparently seen by the BBC, and the BBC used it as a subject for a broadcast to Italy, which they did regularly. And they did the same thing, of course, came out, you know, where was this number of prisoners, one of the prisoners who worked on the chapel. And the interesting thing is that somebody heard the broadcast, and either it was the artist himself who'd done the work, or somebody who passed it on to him, and he came forward and said, yes, look, here I am.
And that was Domenico Cioccetti.
That's correct. And as a result of that, he and a few other people were invited back to Orkney to restore what they had originally done. And I would say that when Harold and I saw it and I photographed it, it was in a really shabby state. The door of the Italian chapel was swinging open so that sheep could get in, and the beautiful walls which had been painted were quite rough, and there were holes in them which looked like rat holes.
Yeah, and he, and I think Cioccetti, and with some help on Orkney, he spent three weeks here, and they really did the initial restoration.
Yes, they did. I think he sort of went over all the original painting, and it now looks beautiful. And the very nice thing is that it is now properly looked after. And I think before, whatever the intentions had been of the Orcadians, it wasn't looked after. And it was, of course, Roman Catholic, and there is a Roman Catholic church on Orkney, and they, or the person in charge of the Roman Catholic church, Father somebody, I don't remember his name, I think accepted responsibility for the chapel, and it was from then on looked after and maintained.
Thank you. There's now a chapel preservation committee, and friendship and exchange visits between Orcadians and the people of Domenico Cioccetti's hometown of Mina. A wayside shrine, a carved figure of Christ crucified, came as a gift from the commune of Mina and now stands outside the chapel. And the Churchill barriers, built for war defence of Scarpa Flow, were surfaced and opened in 1945 as a 5-mile thoroughfare, the most unique highway in the British Isles, almost a third of it running across salt water. And beside it, the Italian Chapel, one of the most visited monuments in Orkney, remains after more than 60 years as a reminder of a faith that flourished in adversity and as a memorial to the genius of its Italian builders.
Thanks to Maureen for that fascinating piece of history and for bringing it so much to life. Up next, Neris presents part two.